Hey, what up? It's DK. Thank you so much for listening to the Mixing Music Podcast. I just want to do a quick plug. Did you know that I write kids' books? If you have children, nieces, nephews, I have books that are totally available for free or $10 on Amazon for physical copies. You can go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/kidsbooks to get access and learn more about that. Thank you for all of your support. Now let's get back to the show.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
One, two, three.
Yeah! Hello and welcome back to the Mixing Music Podcast. I'm your host, DK, and today with me, as always, my lovely special co-host, Este Pinche Wey Lu.
There you go.
Yo, I know I'm going to cut it out, but that was about my fourth time trying to say that. I've been practicing all week and I didn't get it. So, I know that only a part of you kind of get that reference, but it's kind of been our inside running joke, as I still don't know what it means, but I think I know what it means.
If you've ever played Smash Bros. And gotten angry, you know what it means.
Pinche wey. Anyway, thank you for listening to the show. We're glad that you're here. We're glad that we get to do music.
We're glad that you're listening to us in your ears.
There you go. There you go. And before we get started, really briefly, Lou, how have you been?
I've been good. You know, honestly, just been mastering a lot. I think I've mastered like 4 albums in the last 4 days.
Nice. And I know that you have a lot of history doing a lot of mastering. So,
oh yeah, which is fun. Oh yeah, I love it. Honestly, it's kind of nice to hear somebody's, I guess, ideal end result versus trying to guess what the mix is sometimes.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Like you tamper with it less if it's a master. I mean, there's only so much you can
exactly.
do.
Like I do a lot of stem mastering where they'll provide the vocal bus and the instrumental bus. And then I'll
I still consider that just mixing.
I do too, to be honest. I do too. But that's why I also charge more for it because it's more involved than just regular mastering. But with that said, I have a lot of requests during mastering when it's just a 2-track, like, oh, the vocals sound like they got sunken in. It's like, well, I only have a 2-track to work with. There's only so much I can do.
Unless you use Ozone 9 Master Rebalance.
Which is actually a really cool tool. But
it really is. But it's not perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
On mastering, I can only do it like a dB at max, because other than that, it leaves kind of artifacts.
Whenever I do drums, it tends to filter out a lot of the bass versus just bringing out the transient.
Yeah.
But if you're ever trying to do that, use Spiff.
Spiff.
I really like Spiff from Oak Sound. Yeah. I use it on almost every song here.
Ozone 9 Master Rebalance is this like really cool plugin from Ozone Isotope, Ozone Advanced, Ozone 9 Advanced. It's like this plugin that somehow you have 3 options: bass, drums, or vocals, and you can turn up or down within a 2-track. Like I said, it's not perfect, so it kind of leaves a little bit of artifacts and what you're talking about, but it's actually really, really awesome, and to the point where now because of it, I feel like it's a lot more flexible for mastering.
I actually really like it for the vocal setting.
So I also do a lot of mastering work, which is so funny because I want to be very clear that I do not consider myself a mastering engineer. I'm really confident with it, and I've gotten a lot of cool placements with it and stuff like that. But I definitely am not a mastering engineer and will never take that. That's like an honorary title that I do not deserve. Yeah. But what I do is do a damn good job mixing a two-track. That's what I do. Like, literally, that's what I consider doing.
Sometimes I get an email back from the client like, did my producer give you the stems or the master? Because it sounds like you remixed the song. I'm like, in a bad way or in a good way? They're like, no, it sounds great. It's just, I've never gotten a master back that sounded like somebody remixed the song.
Yeah, I do. That's what I do. That's what I do. And even with mixing, I do less like, I'm more of like a creative mixer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. I'll do creative things where like, I'm a little bit more on the, like the fuck your rough mix mentality.
Yeah.
So like, which most of my clients, obviously there's clients that don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of like, I prepare them to let them know, and usually through my demos and before and afters that I have on my website, they know what to expect. So a lot of the clients that come to me expect that like production style mixing.
Yeah.
Which is like a lot of fun. But this is not what we're going to talk about today, actually.
But it ties to what we're talking about. It does. Realistically, like, we do this for a living and we always get the questions asked, which is the topic, which is, you know, analog versus digital, the final frontier. Like, definitively speaking, like, what do we think? Like, this shouldn't even be a conversation anymore, really.
There you go. That's the first time you've introduced the topic.
Oh, cool.
And that, yeah, there you go. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. I think I realized that. Thank you, Lou. Yeah, no, today is analog versus digital. I think it's because we actually talked about what we were going to talk about before we started talking about it.
Probably. We also talk about this all the time.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, it's funny. We're talking about the name Final of the Frontier. Show,
the Final Frontier. Like, because we were like, analog versus digital, Final Frontier. Because, like, we want this episode to kind of be the end of the discussion. We're definitely going to continue to talk about it.
I'll probably wake up to the conversation tomorrow.
Exactly. But we want to use this episode as neither pro or like anti-analog or digital. Because at the end of the day, this is the final discussion because they're not really meant to be compared. Digital, I will say this. I'm going to start off the conversation.
Okay.
Analog is absolutely 100% inferior in every single way possible. That's why it's awesome. And that's why people like it more oftentimes.
Yep.
Because we even talk about it, like, even from a rhythmic standpoint, hi-hats and snares that are perfectly on time. Like, have you ever had a drummer that's so mechanically on time that it's like lost its musicality?
Have you ever heard a singer who was so pitch perfect that you freaked out?
Like Emma Watson in Beauty and the Beast, where they melodined it too much, or like the greatest showman, they melodined it too much and they sound like robots.
No, I once heard a singer, like a vocal coach, like give the reference key to an artist without anything. Like, I heard her standing in front of me. This is back when I was
like
recording
no digital
at home.
Processing.
No. Like, I was recording at home. We're all in my living room just recording, and she just sang, and I turned around like, oh my God, were you singing into the mic? She's like, no, I'm at the door. I'm like, you are so good. It's scary.
It's scary. Yeah. Well, singers, I don't know. Good with singing is really good. Okay, as a singer, good with singing is not how well you hit the note.
But it was impressive how well
like
dead
violin
center
playing
that was.
Is all about how well you hit the note and how clean your vibrato is because there's no frets, right? But with singing, it's all about character.
Yeah.
So it's like good is like character where it's like, for example, I'm going to say it again, Beauty and the Beast with Emma Watson. I'm a big fan of Emma Watson. I love Disney. I love Beauty and the Beast as a story. Hated the vocals because it was melodyned way too hard and way too perfect. Or like the best hi-hat rhythms in trap music is when they're off. I love when things are like rhythmically off, or like swing is technically off, right?
Like, I mean, like everything in swing is swung.
Yeah, I mean, there's a right way to swing. But I mean, that's the kind of vibe, like, because analog gear is imperfect, it adds this human, almost human imperfection into audio, which people like. And that's why people, and you'll see a lot of times pros that are later in their career, use at least one or two things that are still analog to kind of give a little bit of that flavor. And there are actually, digital is really getting good at making things dirty, because with analog, you can't really control how dirty it is other than like pushing the input, you know, like really. But with digital, there's a blend knob most of the time. Or like you can push how much dirty you want. You can get the good without taking the bad of analog.
You can be frequency dependent, like on Saturn, where you can divide it up how you want.
And it's absolutely amazing. And I think that it's getting close, but there's still something. I say that like even with Saturn, like it's so precise that like even the dirty imperfection that it's emulating is still kind of calculatable. Where analog, perfect. It's like you have no idea what the fuck is going on. And that's kind of why it's so amazing.
Yeah. You, Andrew Sheps had talked about how one day he'll bounce a song and the producer will call him like, hey, what time did you bounce? Because I know at a certain point, like there's more power usage at your home and it doesn't sound like the way it sounded last night. And the funny thing is, he agrees. He's like, yeah, the power consumption in some places will alter the sound of your system.
Which is so okay. And to put it in perspective, I think you went to school for this, mm-hmm. and you have worked in bigger studios for more part of your career, where I mean, we're almost the same age, but I've never really worked with tape.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, I'm very grateful for that. Like, I'm not sad about it. I'm not sad about it at all. I've heard all the stories. I've heard all the stories. I've seen it on YouTube when I wanted to get into tape. And I researched it, and I was like, heck nah, I'm good. That sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, they even made 19-inch rack mounts that were dedicated to tape emulation. So
there you go.
Even people that wanted that tape sound in the analog world didn't want the tape machine. Yeah, just saying.
There you go. So, but for me, it's a difference in, I feel like a lot of the older cats learned through the imperfect, like they didn't have a lot of choice. Andrew Shep had a video that we talked about, which is, I think we were watching the same video. He talked about how back in the day you had tape and you had only options. And if you wanted to practice a compressor, you had a really crappy Alesis compressor outboard gear because there was no plugins or whatever.
Or what was it?
I don't remember. But like you had to practice with crappy ones. And if you go work at another studio, if you learn, you see what other people are using. Because there's not a lot of options. And you're like, okay, other people have used this and you try it out. Where with plugins, you have an infinite amount of options, which is why it's also hard. And I think now on Clubhouse, we were talking about it. Which, by the way, sometimes we talk on Clubhouse.
Yeah, look up The Art of Mixing and Mastering. Taekwon leads the group.
Yeah, and
shout out to Taekwon.
And we're actually trying to do our own thing too, but we keep recording these podcasts way too late for anybody to be awake.
Just so you know, like, the city of LA is asleep right now, but we are awake and working for you. way to say that.
We're working for you.
We're here to serve our listeners.
Yeah, we're here for you.
But realistically, we are here for you.
Yeah, and me, myself. I'm here for myself. I want myself
to listen. And I is what I got in the end. Oh, wait. Can I not do that?
No, that's good.
Can we beep that?
No, we're keeping it for
what
sure.
What is it? Option shift 3? No. That's what? I forget.
You
what
mean
the beep
just highlight and delete?
No, we gotta have a radio beep. Come on, man.
Oh, the radio beep. Oh,
I forget what the shortcut is. That I just said consolidate.
There's
clip.
A shortcut.
I feel so silly.
That's true. I discovered we were talking for the interns. I discovered that there's a Pro Tool shortcut practice app.
Yeah, the one on the iPhone.
And I realized I thought I was the king of shortcuts, but there's a lot of obscure shortcuts that it says. It tells you what the shortcut does, and I don't even know what it's like. The definition of it, I don't even know what that is. I'm
like, it's like synchronized MTC and all that kind of
stuff. Yeah, it was like something like that. Yep. I'm like, what? What is that?
It's like MIDI time code, foo.
Yeah, what? Or like start at the beginning of a clip, something, something. And at the start of the beginning of the clip, that sounds easy, but like there was something I was like, what? What is this? Anyway, it's a dope app. You should check it out. I have no idea what it's called, but I'll put it in the description in the link below, I guess.
All right.
Now I got to do that. Damn. See, I try to like stop mentioning stuff so I have to do less work when I upload things because I'm lazy.
We just make it harder for ourselves.
Yeah, but I'll do it for y'all because y'all are great listeners. Last
We're
month,
here for you.
last month we broke 12,000 downloads. 12,500 downloads.
I was about to say that.
12,500 downloads in a single month, which is, we're beyond in the top 1% of all podcasts. So let me tell you right now, if you're listening to our podcast, you're a loser because you're now mainstream.
You listen to
mainstream media, huh? That's what we are, mainstream, because everybody else is listening to us.
I feel like we're terrible mainstream then.
Yeah, we're really bad. We're the main, yeah.
Like, you got two ADHD hosts on mainstream media?
Talking about ADHD, let's go back to the topic.
Yeah.
Yeah, analog versus digital. So I talked a lot. Can you give me your 2 cents, Lou?
Sure. I'll give you 1.5, in fact.
One and a half cents?
I don't know how
I'm
going to split the penny, but we'll figure it out.
Here we go. We're about to go on another tangent about half one and a half.
Half pennies?
All right, go for it.
All right, straw pennies. So my thoughts on it is basically this. Honestly, I own a lot of analog gear here at the studio. When me and DK opened up, it's as if we each brought one half of the studio. DK brought the monitoring section. I brought like the front end section.
And now we have both for both.
Exactly. Which is really awesome because now we're just like swapping mics around the rooms, which is always fun. But with that said, I can tell you right now, a microphone will make more of a difference than any analog compressor you buy for your mix. Honestly speaking, like half the time we're relying on analog gear to give us our front end the most perfect way possible. And I do agree there is many amazing pieces out there. But to be honest, sometimes I choose a $200 preamp over a $3,000 one. I'm just saying, it just because it's an expensive, exclusive piece, which is what we all want. We were saying this earlier, exclusivity is the illusion that we have when we look at gear in a studio. But
hey, I'm going to say something blasphemous.
Okay.
I hate 1073s. I hate Neve preamps.
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
I don't know if I agree with that, but I also agree with that.
You know, so it's hate that is, upper mid range. I mean, you're right.
It's the upper mid range, but when it comes to like trap music, when it comes to rock and roll, you need that extra push in the mids to get the vocals
but
to
I
come
usually
through.
End up, at least the way that I mix it, I usually end up cutting out the upper mids.
Exactly,
anyway.
Which is why I personally think you would really like. Here's the $200 preamp, people. The True Systems Precision Pre's,
which is what we have.
Yeah, or, I actually have recorded people where the 1073, like the Chandler LTD1, did not fit. Amazing one has the original Neve cards in it, but you know what? The True System sounded better for the client. And realistically,
my favorite is definitely Daking though.
Daking is amazing.
It's like fat.
Yeah,
it's got a lot of bottom,
but it's also clear, like an API.
There you go. I do like the API ones too, yeah. Because to be honest, API is just like it doesn't really have that much flavor. Which is why I like it.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this.
Neve has a little bit too much.
So, let me ask you this. Now, if you weren't getting the vocal sound you were looking for while recording, would you A, switch the plugin, B, switch the hardware, or C, switch the mic?
Or D, switch the singer, damn it.
What if you are the singer?
Oh, I'm the singer. Oh.
And the engineer.
Oh, then, yeah, switch the mic 100%.
Yeah.
To be honest, knowing me, though, practically speaking, do neither. Just live with it and fix it in the mix. I hate saying that out loud.
Oh, my God. Batman's coming for you, man.
I hate saying that out loud.
Batman's
but honestly,
looking at you like how he looks at Robin.
Again, this is where it comes back to, because I grew up in the digital age where, like, I cut, you know, I put in the hours doing a lot of fixing, mixing. I'm like weirdly confident about fixing mixing. Like you can't give me something shitty and like there's no way that I can't make it sound at least somewhat better.
No. That should be true either way as you progress in your career. But
like enough to be proud about it.
Are you actively choosing to record shitty?
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
Exactly.
And to be honest,
but
like we don't have the equipment.
Would you say that the only reason that you couldn't record properly is because you're missing an analog piece of hardware or a plugin?
Oh, heck nah.
Exactly. So when people want to say, oh, the digital distressor versus the actual analog distressor.
They sound different. Who
they
cares?
Sound different. Who cares? Realistically, half the time when we're having that conversation, it has nothing to do with the piece of gear, what they're trying to solve. It's like, well, my mix isn't as punchy. You know, I really want a distressor to help with that. I'm like, you realize the distressor is very aggressive, right? It's not going to add punch to your mix, but
well,
it's definitely going to make
that?
Things come through. Yeah, we can talk about it.
People think that like compressors, like, oh, if you use a compressor, it makes it punchier.
No,
and every
it
time
doesn't.
Someone says that, I'm like, have you used your ears?
Yeah, maybe if you had like. The slowest
like a
40, attack.
50 millisecond attack, even a 30
yeah.
second millisecond
yeah.
attack.
Yeah, and then the fastest release,
makes
and then you
click.
Bring the threshold all the way down, and then all you hear is.
Okay, unless you got the Wolf compressor, which is insane.
Actually, that thing is pretty nice. I used it once. I'm still confused by it because there's so many fucking controls, but I like it.
It's so good. Okay, fine. Some compressors that add punch because they're not regular compressors. They're really creative production type compressors.
But with that said, would you say that the Wolf compressor is always going to fit?
Oh, heck nah.
So having that one piece of hardware that's going to save everything.
It will now. I force it to.
I'll figure it out.
Everything's the Wolf compressor.
No, but think about it. Like a lot of people say like, oh, if I had a 1073 and a CL1B, all my recordings would be perfect. But half the time, that combo doesn't work.
Also, for anybody that's listening right now, we're just saying a bunch of brands. And if you're new to audio, these are all a little bit more like higher end pieces.
But the point is that even though we have it, we don't rely on the analog tool because it's not to say that digital is better. It's just that realistically, if you can't make either one work, it's more of a problem with you than it is with your plugin or analog gear.
Yeah. So anyway, back to what we were talking about on Clubhouse, which, by the way, again, super ADHD. We just kind of left that topic after I brought it up.
This is apparently
we're about
mainstream.
To do it again, so I'm trying to stay focused. we talked about this on Clubhouse, which is the idea of because the digital world is so expansive and it's unlimited, right? The unlimited digital world. I feel like now music and mixing has a much higher learning curve. Specifically because there's way too many options. And because of that, though, I feel like new mixers in this day and age, after they get over the learning curve, are actually genuinely better mixers and have better ears because they've had a lot more experimenting and a lot more opportunities to fail. Because back in the day, you're like, we got the LA-2A or the 1176, or we got three options. And one of them is going to sound better than the other two options. And you might get really good at figuring out which of the three is going to sound best. But in the digital world, you got a bajillion options and half a bajillion of them sound good on this source.
And the other half sound meh.
Yeah. Sound pretty good still. So there's a lot more experimenting, a lot more failing, a lot more figuring it out. So the learning curve is a lot steeper nowadays. I feel like as far as like mixing, the art of, not the actual like, nobody knows how to cut tape anymore, especially the young cats. Like the actual like engineering stuff, because that's out of the way. I still think the actual craft and the art of mixing is a much deeper learning curve.
So
like your ear, developing your ear is a much deeper learning curve.
I feel like a good part of this issue too is that a lot of people record from home for the first time, not knowing the common issues that arise. So you start discovering every little thing that plays a part in it. And either you try to fix it in the mix, like, you know, AC noise or cars driving by and things like that. Things that you normally wouldn't experience in a studio. Because of that, a lot of people tend to learn how to fix, like you said, like. It's kind of crazy. I've seen vocal chains that have like extreme noise gates, but when you listen to it in the mix, you're like, wow, that actually sounds pretty good.
Yeah. So on this note, we want to point out a couple things. One, analog lovers, don't hate on digital.
Digital lovers,
don't hate on analog. Because especially if you don't own any analog pieces or have never owned any analog pieces or you're poor. Which is almost everybody that's in the music industry, except for like the top
10%. I'd say top 1%.
1%. It's really hard. Okay, we can talk about how the music industry only accrued $21.9 billion in the year of 2019, which is stupid small amount of money compared to other sectors. Anyway, but there's not a lot of money in the music industry, surprisingly, contrary to popular belief. But unless you have, if you do not own analog gear, or if you do not have analog gear, or if you're poor, which is almost everybody, do not hate on analog gear. You just look stupid. Do not. Because at the end of the day, there's a reason why these pros still keep a few pieces. There's also a reason why these pros do not keep their old consoles and their entire racks and racks and racks of gear.
There's a reason why big console manufacturers are starting to make smaller units.
and like with like a bunch of different features in a single unit that does a bunch of different things.
Like recall.
Yeah, recall is super important. Thank you, Wes Audio, which I need to get. But there's, okay, but I also think, okay, let's go into this. My favorite piece that I have is one of my least expensive pieces.
Dun, dun, dun.
The Warm Audio Bus Comp, which I have talked about before.
Many times.
There's something magical about the Warm Audio Bus Comp. It is an inferior piece. But plugins emulate the actual piece, right?
Oh, yeah.
This is emulating the actual piece, but with lesser parts. Hence why it's cheaper.
Yep.
There is no plugin that is even close to recreating the sound of the Warm Audio Bus Comp because no plugins are emulating the components and the signal path of the Warm Audio Bus Comp. The Warm Audio Bus Comp sounds nothing like any of my plugins. And I've used Obsidian, which is one of my other favorite VCA bus comps. Obsidian is amazing. Serpent Audio, the actual G-Bus. I've used Smart. They all sound really dope, but they don't sound that different from plugins, relatively speaking, compared to the Warm Audio Bus Comp. It sounds so different. And I love it. I use it on almost every mix, and it's definitely got a tone, and it's got some flaws, but that's why I love it.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, my favorite piece also has a lot of flaws. The Retro Instruments Double Wide.
Yeah, like yours doesn't perfectly sync up.
Exactly. But when you do sync it up and everything works fine.
As much as you can.
As much as you, once again, analog has flaws. But dude, that thing, it sounds amazing. I use it on almost every mix on the Vocal Bus. We were talking about, like, do we use compressors in series and all that kind of stuff on our chains and everything. You had mentioned you always use a slow compressor first. I agree with that. My retro tends to be either the first or second insert on the Vocal Bus, but it's because I love the way it glues together while not sounding like it's an exaggerated amount. But the funny thing is, I have way more expensive compressors in the rack, yet that's my favorite one. It's by far, actually, I think it's my cheapest compressor.
Yeah, and it, to be honest, is one of my favorite ones that you have as well. And I think, which, by the way, I should probably get my own. What am I doing with my life? But at the same time, like, to be honest, I'm in the boat of if they took away all analog gear and also all third-party plugins and I only had to work with stock plugins, do you think my mixes would suffer or sound worse?
Slightly, because we would lose our dynamic EQ knowing that we're in Pro Tools.
Damn, you're right. Pro Tools does not have a dynamic EQ. But
it
other
does
than that,
have a multi-band.
Other than that, I don't think very much.
No. Because
in fact,
realistically,
I don't think
it's more about how you use the tool versus which tool it is.
You want to say that again?
It's more about how you use the tool than what tool it is. It's a poor workman that blames his tools.
There's the phrase. I love that phrase. It's a poor workman that blames his tools. We come back to that. So anyway, the topic of analog versus digital is stupid because you're stupid for caring. That's the end of that.
Wow.
I'm teasing.
You know, we were mainstream. Now we're canceled.
No. I met the biggest jerk in my life in audio a couple months ago. I won't say names, and I won't say the company who he represents. Companies, but if Plural. You do, if you figure it out and you know who it is, you should fire that guy.
Shout out.
One of the things that I said, I brought in a mix, and immediately off the bat, he's like, "You mixed this all digital, didn't you?" Little did he know, I use a hybrid setup. But anyway, I said, yeah. And he said, I can tell. What I really wanted to say, and I held my tongue, was, oh, that's really cool. I didn't realize you were a liar.
Bars.
Yeah, literally, like, that's bars. We've been saying that recently in the studio. Anytime someone said something clever or something funny, bars.
Bars.
Bar.
I'm like, that guy said something stupid. Bars.
Bars. No, literally, though, like... That's how I felt. Like, oh, I can tell. Oh, like, you can tell, huh? Okay. There is one thing. let's go back to the retro instruments, and even your distressors, which have that stereo link,
yeah.
which supposedly they line up perfectly, but your distressors are from different years. And
actually,
they're not,
yeah, they're apart about a decade.
Which is awesome, because now you have one that has slightly more degraded parts.
Yep.
So, and part of the reason why analog and the inferior analog domain that it exists, right, is the left and the right will not be matched perfectly. And with Plugin Alliance and BX, they kind of do this, the TNT or the TMT, where they have the left and right channel be slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's beauty in the imperfection because that gives it that stereo width.
Which is why I'm a huge backer. I'm not sponsored. I'm not anything. But if they would like to sponsor me, please reach out
to Plugin Alliance. But now that we're the mainstream podcast, now that it's not cool to listen to us
anymore. Dude, we just got canceled.
What? What did I say again?
You called people stupid. That's mean, man.
No, I'm sorry. We're not stupid. No, I'm stupid for caring. I'll call myself stupid for caring.
No, you're not stupid.
I don't care anymore.
You have
but
feelings, man.
I have what?
You have feelings.
I don't care about my own feelings.
Plugins.
I don't care about my own feelings. Screw my own. I'm just kidding. We should have an episode about mental health. Actually, on that note.
Actually, yeah, we had a great conversation on Clubhouse. In fact,
hold on. Before we go on a tangent, let's save it for the episode.
Yep,
save it for the episode. But on that note, I think we're kind of coming to a close. Is there anything you want to say?
Yeah, let's just wrap it up with saying that, guys and girls and pets and
we're trying to
whatever.
Get better at that, saying guys and girls.
Yeah,
we're trying to
bad.
Get better at that.
But realistically, as much as I love analog gear and as much as I invested in it, you know I don't use that on every mix. I only use it when it makes sense to use it. It's silly to think that any piece of gear is going to magically make your mix better. You have to get better before you buy that piece of gear. And even then, when you get better, you'll probably realize you don't want it anymore.
Yeah, and on my stuff, I've had way too many experiences that my mixes and masters were been put in a blind shootout against people that pride themselves in their analog gear. And little did they know, mine was fully digital and mine was picked in a blind shootout multiple times over. That's happened enough times that I just don't care anymore. Actually, I talked about this week with you.
Mm-hmm.
I master for a label, and I did get to do a lot of cool TV and movie placements with it. But the first time that they hired me and they wanted to test me out, and I didn't even know about this until a month afterwards, after the record had came out, they apparently shot my master out with a guy, like a Grammy-winning mastering engineer, like a high level, with someone that's in-house and like a third. So there's like three or four different masters that they compared to. They did a blind shootout with the A&R, the producer, and the artist in the room, and they unanimously picked mine every single time. Little did they know, mine was 100% in the box, and also 100% I don't give a crap. like, not overthinking it. And I think if I knew that they were going to shoot it out, I think I would have overthunk it.
Yep.
Overthunk it.
Overthought it.
There you go. Overthought it. And
thunk.
Overthought. We're just having a good time. I think that's why people like the podcast, because we're honestly just having a good time.
I thought we were canceled.
Dang.
This is just a talk show that nobody's going to listen to anymore.
Dang. Welcome
Please
to the
to
now not mainstream podcast, the indie podcast. No, but it was actually really beautiful. It was super confidence building for me, but it was also kind of proving the point of, and the reason why I don't care about things, and I'm like blatantly to the point where I'm probably offending people that care a lot.
My feelings are hurt.
Like, literally, like to those that are super analog lovers that care a lot, I'm probably say a lot of offensive things, even things that I say outside of the podcast. People that care a lot, I'm probably pretty offensive.
To be honest, that's probably me when people ask me about U87s.
There you go. We're not going to talk about that right now. But for real, it's like, I think that when people care too much, it will hurt your sound. And part of the reason why I'm like, I feel like I'm so good is because I'm so fast that that fleeting inspiration never leaves my grasp because it's so quick. And as we kind of move more and more into the digital age, I honestly think mixes nowadays, some of them, like if you listen to an old, I'm sorry, my favorite artist of all time, Michael Jackson record or an Earth, Wind & Fire record, phenomenal, groundbreaking for its time.
Yeah.
Records nowadays done by 14-year-olds sound better. sometimes sounds better. And you're like, whoa. Yeah. And sometimes sounds absolutely not even close to better.
You know what the key on that one is?
What? Mistakes?
No. It's that they're thinking creatively versus technically. A lot of people get in their head when it comes to the mix, and then they start blaming their gear because they're in their head.
Amen. Hey, can I tell you the one thing that's like almost memed? Like how big of a deal people make with converters? Okay. Can I say? So there's a website that I don't remember, so I can't post in the description, but there's a website, and I've done it myself. The website has wave file full resolution comparisons of different converters. So it's the same song or different songs that you could choose from. You can do switch back and forth between the converters. And not only do they have all the different converters, but they have a version where the converters are, it's passed through five times. So they convert the audio five times. They bring it out and then bring it back in. So that way, you can read it, emphasizes five times the emphasis of the character of that converter, right? Mm-hmm. And even with the five times, after $1,000, like after UA and above, like it's so subtle that if you ever think your converter is the reason why your music doesn't sound good, like you need to go to this website and figure and do a comparison yourself, because you'll laugh at yourself. Like it's a joke how similar everything is. And even with the biggest difference was the Focusrite Solo versus the Apollo or like the Prism or the Lavery or whatever they had. That was a big difference, but not so big that you can't win a Grammy with a Focusrite.
Didn't Billie Eilish win?
No, they had UA. They had UA.
Oh, no, but that's my point. It was mixed professionally and everything, but
no, they had a UA unit.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They had a UA unit to record it. It didn't stop them from winning. Even if it was mixed professionally, let's talk about that.
Well, let's talk about how good UA is,
for a very quick second. If you spent a G on your home studio, let's say you bought an Apollo Solo, a Lonadio LA-220, and some headphones, and you just started recording in your laptop, GarageBand, whatever. If honestly speaking, if you can't get that to work for you, there's probably a bigger issue.
It definitely is, 100%.
Because, DK, me and you have mixed straight out of our computers.
Out of the built-in Mac. Yeah,
exactly. Sent straight it out to clients, jack. And they love the mix anyways. It wasn't, the interface didn't make a difference because, guess what? There was no interface.
Hey, and the built-in crappy D to A, A to D. Wait, we don't use A to D when you're mixing, I guess. But no. D to A is who gives a crap? They loved it because we're good, and that's the end of that story. Literally,
yep.
Converters is a joke of a thing.
Now, I will say this. If you're doing big professional studio stuff, like recording live bands and everything. It's more about utility. Yeah, exactly. Like, I personally am a huge fan of the Lynx Auroras, especially the new Aurora N. They're amazing converters and interfaces. I'm going to be a douche right now and say that I do definitely hear a difference between an Apollo and that.
No. But we're also talking about
two completely different price points, you know?
Apollo has this aggressive mid-range thing, this like bite. It's like kind of fake, but to be fair,
it sounds really nice.
I actually really like it.
Yeah.
It's like it's fake, and it's kind of like when you compare, it's like a little bit fake, and you can tell. But every single time I'm like, yeah, this is definitely more exciting.
Yeah.
I lean into that fakeness. Yeah.
But with that said, you know, a two-channel interface from Lynx is 2200, and that's like their base model two-channel interface. So they're obviously putting in a lot more work, but let's be honest. I don't know anybody who hasn't been able to make an Apollo work or a Focusrite work. Honestly, we've been mixing out of our headphone jacks.
I'm gonna prove a point. I'm going to win a Grammy with a Focusrite Solo, just to prove a point.
Well, then I hope
for best engineering. That's what I'm going to do. In fact, Jason Joshua, I recommend you try to do that. Jason Joshua, I challenge you to mix your best record you possibly can on a Focusrite Solo.
I'm going to up the ante, the headphone jack.
Headphone jack straight out of the computer into your speakers. Out the speaker jack, into the eighth-inch speaker jack,
volume,
into the speaker.
Volume control. Directly from the little bar on that laptop.
There you go. Do it. I challenge you. It's going to slap. It's going
to
sound good.
I would love to hear that same mix then Because Jason Joshua says that he does all of his vocals in the box and all of his music on the board. Then redo your regular process, and then let's do an A-B.
Do it. I want to see that. Or somebody. It doesn't even have to be Jason Joshua. Someone that has
Grammys. I would love to hear John Castelli. I've only met him once in the past, but his mixes are great.
There you go. And even with these bigger cats, it's partially out of habit. Like, they've got, like I said, that I've gotten really fast with digital.
Mm-hmm.
Like, have you, like, I've heard the stories about Manny Mariquin and Jason Joshua, just like how blazing fast they are.
Yeah. Chris Lord Alge the same, because his console is always set up the same way.
Sorry. I have a lot of love in my heart, so I'll be careful, but I'm not necessarily a huge fan of him and his work.
It's okay.
Being said, he is a big icon and a big reason why engineers are starting to come to the front of people's minds. So he's doing good for the community. I can't deny it.
Yeah.
But I'll end it there. You know who is awesome? All you 12-year-old kids that are starting your careers listening to this podcast, starting right now, you are awesome. You are the future. And I'll add this, little Birch. If you are a woman right now doing audio, because we just talked about this, so this came to the mind, please don't stop. I mean, unless you have to. Like, if you think this is the right path for you, do all of the men a favor and please don't stop, because you need to represent. We need representation as well as like, I'm a big guy for like capitalism and like economic systems. Like, yo, like when we don't tap into 50% of the world's potential, like we could literally increase how good we are and how good music is and how things are.
Any industry.
If 50% more people, like 100% more people joined in and started helping us. Like literally. So like men are losing if we don't allow women to participate.
Yeah.
And so on that note, please, you guys are the future and girls are the future. And we're losers. And you're listening to mainstream media.
twice canceled now.
Twice canceled.
It's like a second cousin removed.
No. My women in audio speech, you know, uncanceled us, I think, right?
Saying that, it canceled us.
I think me bringing it up canceled us. No, but we should probably do another episode about women in audio and have, interview Sloza or like other people in the crew.
Totally.
Liz.
Oh, Liz would actually be great.
Yeah, we met.
And Crystal, too.
There you go. So on that note, my friends, please, I was going to say happy mixing. But before I do, please, if you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe and like the video. That really helps us out. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts, leave a 5-star review. I think you could do the same thing on Google Podcasts. If you are on Spotify, just share it onto the story and tag us. We love it when people tag us. We'll repost it. We have enough followers that it's worth it. I promise you, kind of. And
actually, for me, it's a huge brightening of the day whenever we get our like little DMs on Instagram and stuff.
Yeah.
Feels
actually,
great.
Actually, I've been getting like 3 to 5 DMs a day.
Damn, I only get like one a month.
Well, I mean, you've only been on the show for like six months, and I've been doing this for 2 years.
That's true.
You'll get there, we promise.
One day.
Everybody DM Lou. Just spam Lou at Midside Sound. Just spam Lou. Don't even follow him. Just spam him. And like send like feet pics or something. Like,
oh
something
my God,
gross.
Not feet pics.
No.
Okay, if you're going to send anything, send me your best dad joke or your favorite gif of something like stupid or silly.
Yes, most random gif wins. You win a shout out on the next episode.
Yes.
So send it to @MidsideSound.
And we'll add that gif to a link at the bottom of that thing just to give DK more work.
Hey, this episode went a little bit long.
It was fun.
This was a fun one. This was really fun. I like it when we have fun. We have a lot of fun.
Yeah, we do.
On that note, happy mixing, my friends, and stay saucy!
Saucy!
1, 2, 3.
Yeah! If you'd like to take advantage of my free guides and online videos, please check out links.dkmixes.com. That's links.dekeimixes.com. The Mixing Music Podcast is proud to say that we have a lot of free resources outside of the actual podcast. Visit mixingmusicpodcast.com/links to find access to our free PDFs and free resources.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.